point to some words last week. Jesus says, "My daughter, do you think you have written enough about my mercy? What you have written is but a drop compared to the ocean. I am love, the mercy itself. There's no mystery that could be a match for my mercy. Neither will mystery exhaust it. Because it is being granted, it increases. The soul that trusts in my mercy is most fortunate, because I myself take care of it. So you grow, it's given, it just is not stable, it's growing more and more." Words of St. Faustina. "I experience great torment of soul when I see God offended. Today I recognized that mortal sins were being committed not far from our door. It was evening. I prayed earnestly in the chapel, and then I went up to scourge myself. When I knelt down to pray, however, the Lord allowed me to experience how a soul rejected by God suffers. It seems to me that my heart was torn to pieces, and at the same time, I understood how much such a soul wounds the most merciful heart of Jesus. The poor creature does not want to accept God's mercy. The more God has pursued a soul with his mercy, the more just will he be towards it. The word is, the more God has pursued a soul with his mercy, the more just will be towards it. So God gives us immensely. So he requests our response. That's his request. He wants to, when we are not only hurt Jesus, but you lose the chance and then fall forever. "My secretary writes that I'm more generous towards sinners than towards the just. It was for their sake that I came down from heaven. It was for their sake that my blood was spilled. Let them not fear to approach me. They are most in need of my mercy." So mostly the sinners, I mean, when we have grievous sins, we are afraid to come towards Jesus. You know, we feel bad. But Jesus, come. That's what Jesus is telling Thomas. Come and touch my wounds. And that's Jesus. September 16, 1937. "I wanted very much to make a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament today. But God's will was otherwise. At 8 o'clock, I was seized with such violent pains that I had to go to bed at once. I was convulsed with pain for 3 hours, that is until 11 o'clock at night. No medicine had any effect on me, and whatever I swallowed, I threw up. At times, the pains caused me to lose consciousness. Jesus had me realize that in this way, I had part in his agony in the garden, and that he himself allowed these sufferings in order to offer reparation to God for the souls murdered in the wounds of wicked mothers. Abortion. I have gone through these sufferings 3 times now. They always start at 8 o'clock in the evening and last until 11. No medicine had lessened these sufferings. When 11 o'clock comes, they cease by themselves, and I fall asleep at that moment. The following day, I feel very weak. this happened to me for the first time when I was at a sanatorium. The doctors couldn't get to the bottom of it. And no injection or medicine helped me at all. Nor did I myself have any idea of what the sufferings were about. I told the doctor that never before in my life had I experienced such sufferings, and he declared he did not know what sort of pains they are. But now I understand the nature of these pains, because the Lord Himself has made this known to me. Yet when I think that I may perhaps suffer in this way again, I tremble. Even she's willing, you can imagine the suffering of abortion. But I don't know whether I will ever again suffer in this way. I leave that to the Lord. What it pleases God to send, I will accept with submission and love. If only I could save even one soul from murder by means of these sufferings. On the day after these sufferings, I can sense the condition of souls, that their disposition towards God. I am pervaded with true knowledge. I receive Holy Communion in the manner of the angels, so to speak. My soul is filled with God's light and nourishes itself from Him. My feelings are as if dead. This is purely spiritual union with God. It is great predominance of spirit over nature. The Lord gave me knowledge of the graces which He has been constantly lavishing on me. That light pierced me through and through, and I came to understand the inconceivable favors that God has been bestowing on me. I stayed in myself a long act of thanksgiving, lying face down on the ground and shedding tears of gratitude. I could not rise from the ground because whenever I tried to do so, God's light gave me new knowledge of His grace. It was only a third attempt that I was able to get up. As His child, I felt that everything the Heavenly Father possessed was equally mine. He Himself lifted me from the ground up to His heart. I felt that everything that existed was exclusively mine, but I had no desire for it all, because God alone is enough for me. Many times you attach so many things, but what if we have really God in our heart? The rest no more important. If you still find things matters still important to us, then means to say our heart is still far from God. Today I learn with what aversion the Lord comes to a certain soul in Holy Communion. He calls to that heart as to a dark prison, to undergo torture and affliction. I kept begging His pardon and offering atonement for the offense. The Lord made known to me that I would see my brother Stanley, but I could not understand how this would happen or why he should come to visit me. I knew that God had given him the grace of a religious vocation, but why should he be coming to visit me? However, I put aside these thoughts and believed that if the Lord had given me to know He would come, that was enough for me. I fixed my thoughts on God, putting aside every preoccupations. We creatures, and entrusting everything to the Lord. When the same poor people come to the gates a second time, I treat them with greater gentleness, and I do not let them see that I know they have been here before. I do this in order not to embarrass them. And then they speak to me freely about their troubles and needs. Although Sister N tells me that this is not the way to deal with beggars and slams the door in the face when she is not there, I treat them as my master would. Sometimes more is given when giving nothing than when giving much in the rude manner. If you give a gentle way, better you not to give. So maybe the sister teaching her, don't worry, just send them away. But for sister Faustina, it's a different way. Often the Lord gives me interior knowledge concerning the persons I meet at the gate. One pitiable soul wanted to tell me a bit about herself, take advantage of the opportunity and make to understand in a delicate way the miserable condition of her soul. She went out with a better disposition. September 17, 1937. O Jesus, I see so much beauty scattered around me, beauty for which I give you constant thanks. But I see that some souls are like stone, always cold and unfeeling. Even miracles hardly move them. Their eyes are always fixed on their feet, and so they see nothing but themselves. You have surrounded my life with your tender and loving care more than I can comprehend, for I will understand your goodness in its entirety only when the veil is lifted. I decide that my whole life be put on acts of thanksgiving to you, O God. Thank you, O God, for all the graces which unceasingly you lavish upon me, graces which enlighten me with the brilliance of the sun, for by them you show me the sure way. Thank you, Lord, for creating me, for calling me into being from nothingness, for imprinting your divinity on my soul, the work of sheer merciful love. Thank you, Lord, for holy baptism, which engrafted me into your family, a gift great beyond all thoughts or expression, which transformed my soul. Thank you, Lord, for holy confession, for the inaccessible spring of great mercy, for the inconceivable fountain of graces in which sin-tainted souls become purified. Thank you, Jesus, for Holy Communion, in which you give us yourself. I feel your heart beating within my breast as you cause your divine life to unfold within me. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, for the sacrament of confirmation, which dubs me your knight and gives strength to my soul at each moment, protecting me from evil. Thank you, O God, for the grace of a vocation, for being called to serve you unknown, leading me to make you my sole love and unequal honor for my soul. Thank you, Lord, for perpetual vows, for the union of pure love, for having died to unite your pure love, pure heart with mine, and uniting my heart to yours in the purest of bonds. Thank you, Lord, for the sacrament of anointing, which in my final moments will give me strength, my help in battle, my guide to salvation, fortifying my soul till we rejoice forever. Thank you, God, for all the inspirations that your goodness lavishes upon me. For the interior nights given my soul, which the heart senses, but words cannot express. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, O Trinity, for the vastness of the graces which you have lavished on me unceasingly through life. My gratitude will intensify as the eternal dawn rises, when for the first time I sing to your glory. Despite the peace in my soul, I fight a continuous battle with the enemy of my soul. More and more I'm discovering his traps, and the battle flares up anew. During interludes of calm, I exercise myself with and keep watch, lest the enemy find me unprepared. And when I see his great fury, I stay inside the stronghold, that is the most sacred heart of Jesus. So always prepare, even you're in calm situation, but very easily get trapped by Satan. So she's always ready to keep high behind the heart of Jesus. September 19, 1937, today the Lord told me, my daughter, write that it pains me very much when religious souls receive the sacrament of love merely out of habit, as if they did not distinguish this food. I find neither faith nor love in their hearts. I go to such souls with great reluctance. It would be better if they did not receive me. The lukewarm souls, they are not bad, but not very good. And this, it hurts Jesus more. Could be us. Although, don't tell yourself, I'm not a religious sister, so this is not my business. Concern us. The same way, you know? You see, the Lord told me, my daughter, write that it pains me very much when religious souls, not necessarily sisters, but you want to be religious, I mean holy, you know? Receive the sacrament of love, that means blessed sacrament, be the out of habit. Come, go. Nothing touch you. As if they did not distinguish this food. I find neither faith nor love in their hearts. I go to such souls with great reluctance, although it's given. But, you know, you go to a house, the door is locked. What can you do? Jesus is just waiting. Most sweet Jesus, set on fire my love for you and transform me into yourself. Divinize me that my deeds may be pleasing to you. May these be accomplished by the power of the Holy Communion, which I receive daily. Oh, how greatly I desire to be wholly transformed into you, O Lord. September 19, 1937. Today, my own brother Stanley visited me, though she already knew beforehand, but she didn't know why Stanley came to see her. I rejoice greatly in this beautiful soul who also intends to devote himself to God's service. That to say, God himself is drawing him to his love. We talked for a long time about God, about his goodness. During his conversation with him, I learned how pleasing his soul was to God. I received permission from Mother Superior to see him more often. When he asked my advice about entering religion, I replied, surely you know best what God is asking of you. I mentioned the Jesuit order, but said, enter wherever you like. I promised to pray for him, and I decided to make a novena to the Sacred Heart through the intercession of Father Peter Skarga, with the promise of having it announced in the Messenger of the Sacred Heart. because he is having great difficulties in this matter. I understood that in this case, prayer was more useful than advice. September 21st, having awakened several times during night, I thanked God briefly, but with all my heart, for all the graces he had given to me and to our congregation. I reflected on his great goodness. When I received Holy Communion, I said to him, "Jesus, I thought that you so many times last night, And Jesus answered me, "And I thought of you before I called you into being." So she was, "Well, I think of you many times during the night." And Jesus, "Before you were born, I thought about you." Do you believe you are loved by God before you were born? Or Jesus only for you? Do you believe that? Because many times Jesus, for so many people, you are lost in the horizon. Is it true or no? No. You're unique in his love before you were born. He is there in his eyes, in his heart. But we are just kind of lukewarm, more or less. That hurts. Either you love or don't love. But you say you love lukewarm heart. That's the situation. And the winner of the Divine Mercy, the last day, that means yesterday, is prayer for the lukewarm souls. Jesus mentioned this, the nine intention. Jesus proposed this Faustina. It's not that Faustina make up the nine winner's intentions in the last day or the best day. For the lukewarm, for all of us. Jesus would, "And I thought of you before I called you into being." Jesus, "In what way were you thinking about me?" She didn't study theology, you know, so how? Asking Jesus. "In terms of admitting you to my eternal happiness." That means whatever you're in his mind already, You are called to his happiness in the bosom of the Heavenly Father. We are all called to be there for eternal joy. That's how he sees us in this regard. Purity of life, purity of love. After these words, my soul was flooded with the love of God. I could not stop marveling at how much God loves us. Just one thought, you can, your whole life, just meditate on this. Before you are born, you are in the height of the Lord. You are united already in the bosom of God the Father. Eternal joy is ever given us. We just make a little bit struggle, human hardship, just to make this way. If so happened that I fell again into a sudden error, in spite of a sincere resolution not to do so, even though the lapse was a minor imperfection and rather involuntary, and as this, I felt much acute pain in my soul, that I interrupted my work and went to the chapel for a while. Falling at the feet of Jesus with love and a great deal of pain, I apologize to the Lord, all the more ashamed because of the fact that in my conversation with him after Holy Communion this very morning, I promised to be faithful to him. Then I heard these words, "If I hadn't been for this small imperfection, you wouldn't have come to me." So God allowing happen so that we can awaken and come to the Lord and say sorry. Know that as often as you come to me, humbling yourself and asking my forgiveness, I put out a superabundance of graces on your soul. And your imperfection vanishes before my eyes, and I see only your love and your humility. You lose nothing, but gain much. Don't just lamentate about your so many sins. Just because you have sinners, come to Him. More graces will be given. He's ready. Life is already given you. Only we don't understand. We don't know God yet. We don't live better. So much better every time we stay in the chapel. Unique. You have to think, Jesus looking at you uniquely. The Lord has given me to know that when a soul does not accept the graces intended for it, another soul receives them immediately. If you refuse this grace, grace to another person. Grace is given, always giving. But no, if you don't take it, someone will take it. Oh my Jesus, make me worthy of accepting your graces, because of myself, I can do nothing. Without your help, I cannot even utter your name worthily. Last paragraph. September 25th, 1937. When I learned how great are the difficulties in this whole work, I went to the Lord, for the Divine Mercy, with the picture and the celebration, it's for years, since 1931, it's 1937. So he's negotiating and you can imagine. She suffered a lot. And said, Jesus, don't you see how they are hindering your work? They're not promoting. They say, not necessary. Already for 6 years. And I heard a voice in my soul. It's a voice from Jesus. Do as much as it is in your power, and don't worry about the rest. These difficulties prove that this work is mine. Imagine, when there's difficulties, a great work, it's always. Be at peace, so long as you do all that is in your power. So she suffered. Nobody understand, nobody accept, criticizing. Wherever she goes, the people have different lives, especially the sisters, no? they don't mind to give her hard time. The superior won't, but the usually the normal sisters gossiping against her, you can imagine. So anything we suffer for the sake of the Lord, be joyful. Because God is inviting you to share His love. It's amazing, eh? Today, the meditation. From eternity, before you were born, Jesus sees you. You are there. You already have a place in His bosom. But it depends on you. You want to enter or not enter. So free. That's the problem. We all know, but still we have the self so strong and couldn't look up to Jesus. And we pray hard today, the Feast of Divine Mercy, that we always believe, His love. So Jesus is telling us again, the lukewarm soul needs more graces, because we presumed we are already good enough. But it's not enough. It hurts Jesus. Because you don't use your full force. You're just half-hearted. And this hurts Jesus most. Either you say no, much better. But you say yes, and halfway. And stop there. And it hurts Jesus. That's what in your Revelation mentioned, no? The last book of the scripture. I prefer you to be either good or bad, not lukewarm. I will vomit you out. It's so difficult for us to understand. We presume that we are good is good enough. You will never presume that this is not at all good at all before the Lord. We say we do our best, but we are not doing our best. We do our good, not our best. It's not enough. So we pray for one another of these things. Eternal Father,
thank you.